Okay, good morning, everybody. It's great to see everybody. Since at the end of the year, things are always a little bit rushed, can I take this opportunity to wish everybody a Shana Tova? Sivim Chasima Tova, we should all have a year of great blessing, Be'ezrat Hashem, success, health, and all good things. A little bit of housekeeping in advance. Next week, which is Tzom Gedalia, there will be a shir, Be'ezrat Hashem. We might be hungrier, but there will be a shir. We won't be that hungry after 2 days of eating on Rosh Hashanah, so it'll be okay. So next week there will be a shir, please God. The week after that, Wednesday, 2 weeks from now, is of course Yom Kippur. There will be no shir on Yom Kippur. The week after that is Chol HaMoed Sukkot. Again, there will be no shir, so there's a 2 week break for Yom Kippur, Chol HaMoed Sukkot. And the week after that, which is just after Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeret, there will, please God, be a shir. We'll start straight away after the Chagim. And then after that, I will actually be away for a few weeks because they're recruiting in November. But we'll talk about that then. For now, next week, please God, there's a shir, and then after Sukkot. Can I also make an announcement now for the big OU Torah Yerushalayim event on October the 6th? There is a whole day of learning taking place at the Ramada Hotel. I will be giving one of the shirim in the morning, but there will be many people far more worth coming to listen to than me, all day long and in the evening as well. It's a very big big affair, broadcast all around the world, etc. For those who want to register, they can register outside afterwards, they can call the OU. They can go downstairs and speak to the people in the office. So October the 6th, the Ramada Hotel, please, if you're available, that will be a lovely opportunity between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Finally, before we start the share, can I ask people to please turn off their telephones or turn them onto silent so that we can all enjoy the share with our musical accompaniment. Okay, next week I would like to talk I tried to talk a little bit about some of the minhagim of the Yamim Nuraim. One minhag we've never talked about in this shir is Yizkor. And I'd like to talk next week a little bit about some of the very fascinating issues of Yizkor in terms of its origins and its applications and the halachas and the hashkafas and how that works. But that, please God, is for next week. Today I'd like to talk about an issue which brings out many aspects of halacha that people don't always think about. You may not feel this is a particularly life-changing or day-to-day relevant event, but I can assure you, as a teacher of 18-year-old women, this is something that almost every single one of them have at the forefront of their mind, which is going and having jewelry inscribed with psukim. Over the last 15 years or so, this has become a very, very big thing. There is a shop down in town called Hadaya, which specializes in this, and they even offer the first piece of jewelry of the day half price, so all the girls are queuing up there outside the door to get the first piece of jewelry. They've attracted a very large clientele, including now men, who have male jewelry with, I don't know, male psukim or something like that involved, inscribed on them. I would add that you don't have to have psukim. You can, there are many, if you go on their website, I've given you a source at the bottom, you can see they give you lots of options. You can have whatever you want inscribed, but they give you a lot of options there. Other areas of Torah, Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Nachman, but you can go Lahavdil beyond that. They have as broad a thinkers there as Confucius, Buddha, Plato, Mother Teresa, Abraham Lincoln, Albert Einstein, Albert Camus, Henry Ford, Mark Twain, Oscar Wilde, and even Dr. Seuss. So if you don't fancy having Anila Dodi Vadodi Lee, you can get something from a cat in the hat and everybody will be happy, which I must tell you, halachically, it's better to stick to the cat in the hat because we'll see that having psukim on the jewelry is actually an interesting and potentially quite problematic issue. It's not just jewelry. There are also people that make sweatshirts, t-shirts. Every camp now has something engraved or embroidered or made. Let's have a look at some of the sources and we'll work out what the issues are. First of all, as we all know, I think here, there's such a thing as the Kedusha, the special Kedusha of Shem Hashem. What exactly is Shem Hashem? So if you look here in number one, you'll see that there is a mitzvah when the Jewish people go into the land of Israel. You have to destroy the idolatrous altars v'shibartim et matzevotam, and knocked down all their standing pagan stones, v'ashireihem tishfu ba'esh, burn up their trees, their pagan trees, v'silei Eloheihem tigadeun, cut down all of their statues, v'ibartim et shemam, wipe out their name, min ha-makom ha-hu, from the land of Israel. And then it says, but lo tasun kein l'Hashem Elokeichem. Whatever you're doing to them, you may not do that to shame Hashem. Now, in parentheses, when the state of Israel was set up, Rav Herzog had a very major shaila, which was now that the Jewish people were indeed in charge of the land of Israel for the first time in 2,000 years, how did this particular mitzvah of cutting down idolatry apply in a practical way? What about Christianity? What about the churches and the monasteries, etc.? I'm not getting into that. We had a whole discussion quite a long time ago about going into churches. I don't know if you recall, but Rav Herzog clearly decided that there was no halachic requirement to shut down Christianity in Israel, leaving aside the political, sociological implications of that. Halachically, you can read his tshuvas, how that works, but I'm not interested in that angle so much. More the issue of what is the shame Hashem. So look in number two. The Gemara in number two, it's a Mishnah and a Gemara in Shavuot, is dealing with how you cause other people to make a Shavuot. If you've got Edim that you want to bring to court, then you need to subpoena them. And you need to make them swear that they go, I make you come to court. You have to take an oath and give evidence. So the Mishnah says as follows, number two. Mashvim aleichem. So one lashon you can use is, I make you swear. I'm going to force you to swear. Mitzave ami aleichem. Or even if you slightly change it, I command you. Osarchem ani. I'm binding you to do this. Harizeh elichayavim. Okay, that works. B'shamayim v'aretz, if you say to them, I bind you by the name of, in the name of the creator of Shamayim v'aretz, or the, in the Shamayim v'aretz, harayim t'turim, that doesn't work. That's not a binding oath in the same way. But b'aleph dalet, if they use the name of Hashem, aleph dalet, avnut, b'yud hei, which of course is the name, the tetragrammaton, the four-letter name of Hashem, b'shakai, b'tzavakot, b'chanum v'rachum, erech apayim, rav chesed, b'chol hakinuyim, you can use any expression for God, not only the classic names of God, but even rav chesed, erech apayim, these are references to God, hari elu chayavim, that works. It works for oaths. It works to make someone come to court. So the Gemara picks up on that and says, one second. Ba'alef dalad, b'yudhei, b'shakai, tzavakot. You've just said all of these names. And even chanun v'rachum, erech apayim, rav chesed. L'meimru, do you mean to say that chanun v'rachum shemot ninu? That these are really the names of God, chanun, rachum. These are references to God. Yud Gimel Midas is in Yana Diyoma, right? But these are not the names of God. Why are you including these in the list? V'raminu, don't we have a contrary principle? Yeshemot shenim chakim. There are names that may be erased. V'yeshemot she'enim chakim. And there are other names of God that may not be erased. Elohim shemot she'enim chakim. These are the classic names of God which have full kedusha that may not be erased, as the Gemara. Kegoyim. Keil, Aleph Lamed. Elokecha. Elokim. Elokechem. Ehiyeh. From the Pasuk, Ehiyeh she'ehiyeh. Okay? Aleph Dalet, Yud Hei, Shakai, Tzivakot, Hari Elu Einim Chakim. These are the names that have the full Kedusha. Aval, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora, Haadir, Hechazak, Haamit, Hazuz, Hanum, Rachum, Erech Apayim, Rav Chesed, Hari Elu Nim Chakim. They're not really the names of God. Meaning they work in terms of oaths, because everybody knows what you're talking about when you make an oath on Erech Apayim or Hanum, Rachum. But in terms of the names, written names of God, says the Gemara, yes, don't get confused. There are certain classic names of God. If you write them down, they have the full Kedusha. And the other ones are not actually the names of God. That's going to be very important for us, because we'll see that if you go to one of these places to have jewelry engraved and you put Shame Hashem on it, then you're really in trouble. Now, as far as I'm aware, Hodiahs do not engraved with Shem Hashem, even if you ask them to. But there are people we'll see soon who've had Shem Hashem tattooed on themselves, which is a very bad idea for many reasons, especially if you ever feel like taking a shower, which we'll get to in a minute. The Rambam picks up on this and says, okay, destroying mamash the shame of Hashem, and we've decided that there are certain shamers in Halacha which have a din of a shame Hashem, that's a Torah prohibition. However, any Torah material may not be destroyed or degraded in any way, even if it doesn't contain the Shem Hashem. Look at number 3. Kitvei Kodesh, says the Rambam. Even Torah writings. Kulam, all of them. Upeiru Sheyem. And even the commentaries, which do not contain shame. Ubiurehem, and their explanations. Asur l'sorfam. You may not burn them. Ola abdam biyad. You may not destroy them. They cannot be burned. Ah, they don't contain Shem Hashem. If you open up a Gemara, there's no Shem Hashem in the Gemara. They never write the Shem Hashem in the Gemara. Torah Shabbal Peh. Even when they quote Sukkim, they write Yud and Yud, or Hey, or whatever it is. They don't write Shem Hashem. Nevertheless, you cannot destroy them. The Hama Abdam Bayad, and if you do, treat Torah material disrespectfully in this way. Makin also Makas Maris. It's Drabbonim. It's a rabbinic prohibition. Now, the Madvarim Amorim, what are we talking about? When does this apply? The Kitzvei Kodesh, and here's the key word, Shekatvam Yisrael B'Kedusha. If a Jew wrote them, B'Kedusha. What does that mean, B'Kedusha? Intending them to be Sifrei Kodesh. If a Jew wrote them with Kedusha, then you may not destroy them on a rabbinic level, even if they don't contain shame. Aval Apikairus Yisrael, but a Jewish heretic, Shekasov Sefer Torah, even if he wrote a Sefer Torah, with all the names of Hashem, Sorfim Otto, you must burn it, Im Has Karot Shavo, even with all the shame of Hashem, because it has no Kedusha, zero Kedusha. Okay, I'm not getting into heretics and Sifrei Torah right now, but when somebody writes a posik, Anila Dodi Vadodi Li, on a piece of jewelry, and some 11th grader gives it to her boyfriend or his girlfriend or whatever, and that's, is that called, they wrote it, Shekasam Yisrael B'Kedusha? That's a good question. This is a relevant question now. Or is that, Sam, it's like a catchphrase. It's not even a posik. Of course, it is a posik. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. But is it really here a pasuk? Is it written as a pasuk? Eishet chayil miyimsa. Something you give, you know, to your wife for her 20th wedding anniversary. And it's like rhetorical. It's not like I couldn't find an Eishes Chayil, so I gave you this instead. It's like I think everybody knows what it means. But is that really a pasuk or is not a pasuk? Now I must say that there's not that much written that I could find anyway on this issue. One of the key people who wrote a fantastic article on this is someone who knows the OU is Rabbi Eliel Zarowski. Rabbi Ozarowski gives shiurim in the OU, and his wife Mira works downstairs, and is familiar to many people. He wrote a fantastic article on this, which I've referenced in the footnotes, and I very much recommend that you download that. You can get it online and have a read of that as well. But a lot of the material we're going to look at today, Mi'at Hashem, he deals with in even more detail, but we're going to have a look at some of those issues. So let's go over the page and start the main event. Yes. Geniza is where you put Shemas that have been used, etc.
Right. Are they
yes, they are. Devarim Sheva Kedusha have to be put in Geniza. We'll see. Devarim Sheva Mitzvah do not. Tashmishe Mitzvah do not have to be put in a Geniza. We'll see the difference. Yes.
Can you just talk very briefly about printing as opposed to writing a letter?
Good. That is a good question. There was a big question.
Correct.
There was a big shiloh when printing first came out as to whether printing with a machine has the same kedusha as writing with a sofer. Now clearly you can't print the Sefer Torah. It has to be written by a scribe. However, a chumash which is printed, or any Sifrei Kodesh which are printed, for all intents and purposes for these halachas, we give them the same kedusha. There is a shiloh that's going to come up soon. They printed a 1,000 shekel note, bill, in 1983, we'll see it quite soon, which had a page of the Rambam on it. Okay? And then the Tzitz Eliezer was asked by a very concerned questioner, am I allowed to take this into the bathroom with me? Okay? Am I allowed to give it to a non-religious person? Am I allowed to give it to a non-Jew when they may not treat it with kedusha? I don't know, 1,000 shekel note, most people treat with quite a lot of kedusha. but we'll see, that comes up. So there already the Sicilian says, no, it's only printed, it's not really Torah, it's tiny, you know, da-da-da. But for a chumash, definitely, yes. And then we must go on.
Good. So I'm not getting
into electronics. Strictly speaking, a screen, something which is written on a screen, is don't worry about that, I'm sure it'll turn itself on. It's hard to turn these things on. Something which is printed on a, which is written on a screen, like Shema Shem on a screen, so the post can said many years ago already, and this is pretty much accepted, that's not called Shem Hashem. Now, you wouldn't have it in the bathroom, obviously, because it looks like, but it's not written. Meaning you can erase it. If someone writes Yud-K, Vav-K on the screen, you can press delete. Because it's not real. I'm not saying it's a mitzvah to do that, but I'm saying you can. Because it's not written, it's flashing on and off. It's just that your eyes and my eyes can't pick up the fact that it's flashing on and off, because it flashes too fast for our eyes. But it's not written. Yes. So many questions.
I want to ask Rav Arlis to say the question he couldn't answer.
Wow, that itself is something. You heard that here. Yes.
I was teaching the philosopher Dave Park in the university. And he had a proof of the existence of God.
Right. Right.
But I was speaking Hebrew.
Ah.
So if I write Aleph Lamed on the board.
Right.
As a translation of his Jew.
Right.
Can I erase that?
What did he say?
He said, "You're the philosopher, not me."
Okay, all right. He's saying that if he's translating the word Dieu, the God in French, okay, into Hebrew, and he's teaching philosophy, and he's writing it as Aleph Lamed, can he erase that? You could just put Aleph Dash Lamed, and then you've got no Shaila. But it is a Shaila. I heard once in Hasmonean school in London, where there are all sorts of pranks pulled over the years, that somebody wrote UK Vake on the blackboard. Yeah, they decided to see what they do with that then. So I heard that they had it cut out of the blackboard and put into Geniza, but I don't know if that's true. Anyway, we must go on, because there's far too much to do. There's a lot of questions. I'm sorry I can't take all of them. We'll take some more soon. Look at number four. The main, because I don't really want to do this for 2 weeks. It's enough already 1 week. The main tshuva on this is an amazingly, surprisingly modern tshuva in this respect. The Rambam was asked the following. Well, let's have a look. Let's look at the tshuva in number four, the Shaila at least. In number four. This is already from the time of the Rambam, 800 years ago or so. B'davar talita asher bachar oisa ben adam letzitzit. This young man decided to choose a talit to put tzitzit on. Now, I don't think this is a talit like we wear in shul, because you'll see later he talks about him wearing it in the bathroom, etc. I think this is a regular cloak. Don't forget, back in the day, they just put tzitzit on their regular clothing. I mean, some people do today. If you go to Alon Shmuel, you see Rav Yoel Ben Nun with tzitzit on his jacket, okay? People put tzitzit, I've seen tzitzit on scarf, all sorts of things. It was completely normal in those days to put tzitzit. So this guy decided, he found a very nice beged, he'll put tzitzit on it, he'll wear it around, beautiful. The Rav Salah Hidna Odba Mitzvot, but he wanted to go one extra, to do something really beautiful. Barakan Shulea Bameshi, and he embroidered around the bottom of this piece of clothing with silk. Ba'umanut, in beautiful calligraphy, Meshubechet, very, very beautifully. The Kasab Shulea Pasuk Min Parshat Vayom. And he put some of the parsha, the psukim from the parsha of Tzitzit, yeah, Basulahem, Tzitzit Tzavik, Dehem, Kanigab, Silk Tzchelet. He wrote that on his talus. He wanted to make a really super duper talus, the Shem Mitzvah. And again, for a regular piece of clothing. But Kasav Hashem Yudim, and he wrote the Shem I think he Yudin. I don't think it means he wrote two Yuds, or he wrote. It sounds like he wrote two Yuds, not the Shem Hashem, but he wrote the pasuk. Umacha b'yadam Mamonehair. Mamonehair, one of the people, one of the Torah leaders of the town, objected. Al Masha Asav Amon, and he said to him, "Asolim Moshav, it's not a talit. You can't wear that. That's not allowed. You can't put pasukim on a talit." V'lo kibil mimenu. But the other guy didn't listen. He says, "You're not going to tell me what to do. I'm doing this because I'm doing a mitzvah. Leave me alone." The id mitzvah nishrat al talit, and he insisted that girl on wearing it even more. Okay, so now you had a big baknach locus. Yoreinu Rabbeinu, so they write to the Rambam, "Please, our master, tell us, ha'im masha asas zenachon? Did this guy do the right thing? Umutar li mashech acharav, and he can keep doing it, as there? Or who chata? Or maybe he did an aveira? This fellow who embroidered the talit with psukim." The im hu chapa, and if he did an aveira, madin zot a talit shirakamba. What's the halachic status of the talit shirakamba psukim that he put the psukim on? Do we have to put it in the geniza? What do we have to do with it? Minatora, ma chayvla, ma flanze. So what is the tshuva? So the tshuva you can say very easily, and then we'll see the explanation. Says the Rambam, ze hamaser hu chet. What he did is a chet. It's prohibited. The eino mutar b'shum panim. And it is not allowed under any circumstances. Completely wrong. Okay, that so far so good. But why? What's the problem? So let's look in the Rambam in number 5. I'm going to bring you now a couple of bits from the Rambam and pieces from the Rambam where he explains it. And then we'll go through them properly. And I think the problem is as follows. Mishnei Tamim, there are two real issues here. Ha'echad mehem. The first issue, she'ein lichtov min ha'Torah p'sukim p'sukim. You are not allowed to write individual p'sukim from the Torah. Eli yichtov shalosh kevet levav. Unless you write, you can write three words or less. But you may not write more than three words in a posuk unless you write the whole Torah out in full. The longer Torah, no more than three words. You cannot write p'sukim. Now you're all thinking, well, we do this all the time, no? On the sukkahs, you'll see, the sukkahs teishvu, shivas yamim. Okay, that's more than three words. So what's going on? We'll get there. But the Rambam says you may not write a posuk unless it's in a full Torah. The im trichem anu lahavi rayami posuk. If we really need to bring a proof from a posuk, okay, shanamanu haktav, we have to change the way that it looks. We have to change the font. But notice in the Surah Acheret, we have to make it look like it's not really a classic Hebrew font from the, say, like it's like a stamp font. Surah Acheret. Or Kotzvim Mikol Teva Ois Echad, or we write it in abbreviations. We don't write the full posuk. Or Shem, or maybe two letters with a chukchik. Sofgav, or the end of the posuk. Mikta Teva, a few of the words, not three or more. Or Kotz, or not more than three rather. Or Kotzvim Mitzirugim, or we change the layout of the posuk. At least to make it look as though it's not a posuk. This is what people do, by the way, on wedding invitations. Kol sason, v'kol simcha, kol chatan, v'kol kalat. It's all over the page. It's not because they just like artistic license. It's because they don't want to write a posuk with more than three words looking like a posuk. He says, change it all around. And even if you have to write a parsha for a child to teach them in cheder, and you can't just use a whole sefer Torah, lo hitizot ela biglal hechrei chalimut. We only allow this very, very reluctantly because we have to teach these kids. The fishelon nitna Torah likafit parshas, because you're not really meant to write from a Torah a separate parshas. The kolshe came posik, and all the more so you're not meant to write separate psukim. If you have to, for children, maybe, but we shouldn't. Maybe you'll think that this is only if you write it on a book, on a clap, but you're with ink or kodama and things like that, of course, before printing. But if you carve it in wood or the zahav or engrave it on gold or kodama or rokem or you embroider the bayin mutar, maybe you might think that's okay. Hariyada, you should know, she'ein chiluk bein k'tiva l'charita, k'mon she'niz v'abagitin. There's no difference between engraving and writing, it's all prohibited. And he proves this from Heleni Hamalka, donated to the temple at the end of the Second Temple, a gold tablet with the words of the Soter written on so they could read it out or whatever, and it was arranged in a certain way, and that was engraved in gold. Yes?
Isn't the Gemara full of
the Gemara is, but that's a Tzorech Limud, and don't forget the Gemara originally wasn't written down, it was oral, and they never have Shem Hashem, but it does have Psukim, but they often quote bits of the Posuk. It's very interesting. The Gemara often says two or three words and says V'gomer. I don't know if this is one of the reasons, but usually the proof that you're trying to get to from the Posuk is in the bit that it doesn't say, in the V'gomer bit. But anyway, so he says, problem number one is, you can't write Psukim out at all. For any reason other than learning Torah, and that's meant to be as larger format, as larger amount as you can. Okay, that's the first reason. We'll get back to this in a minute. Number six, v'acham ha'sheni, the second reason is, asher biglal isur zeh amasa, hu yoter chazak min ha'rishon, and I actually think, says the Rambam, this is worse than the first reason, hu shemafkir psukei Torah lidei zilzul. You are going to write psukim down and they're going to become disgraced and degraded. Because the tzitzit are tashmishe mitzvah, they have a halachic category as something which is used for a mitzvah. The aim bo kedushat guf, they don't have inherent kedusha, because they don't contain Torah, Shem Hashem. Like a lulav, or a tzitzit, or be a tzitzit, they're not tashmishe kedusha, they're tashmishe mitzvah, a lower level. The fikach mutali kanet betalit mutsutzet. You're allowed to go into a bathroom, lebeit hakise. You can go to a bathroom with your sisters hanging out, no problem. Uladoras beregel, or you can even stand on them if you need to, ulishdamish, or use them. You can use it as a cloth to cover yourself, whatever. Could go in the forest, like susba beit kisui ha'erva. You can use it to cover a naked body, ubeit kidur. That's not a problem, because they're mutar. Because there's no inherent kedusha in the tzitzit. And even when you throw them away, when you finish with them, you don't put them in Gneza. You don't put a lulav in Gneza. You shouldn't leave it on a garbage heap so because it was used for a mitzvah. It should be wrapped up or put somewhere specially for those things. But since you just wrap them up in a bag and throw them in the regular garbage. Not loose, but in a bag. But of course, something which was Kedusha, filling, God forbid, you could never do that all mitzvah, because it has Shem Hashem. Yeah.
Yes, yeah,
something that you wear daska for tefillah. No, he's not talking about that kind of a talus. A talus which is worn only for tefillah, and even maybe a kittel which is worn only for tefillah. The minhag is that you don't wear them inside a bathroom. Correct, because it feels degrading in that sense. But strictly speaking, halakhically, that only applies to tefillin. So the tzitz is not a problem. So if he's going to write psukim on the tzitz, on this talus, again, I'm not going to call it a talus because you're thinking always of a talus, but let's call it a cloak. He's going to write psukim on this cloak, shenichtavu b'kedusha, which are written with kedusha, and this guy really did write them with kedusha. He wrote them because he wanted to remember these beautiful mitzvahs wherever he went. Shenichtavu in piagbura, these are psukim from Hashem. Le'elu atinufus avil zulim, these are going to be taken into the toilet, dirty places. Zebizoi, horribly suffering. This is a terrible insult to Torah. Not only to the fact that it's a new thing, it's a perversion, they never heard of this. Who's ever heard of this? Says the Rambam. Writing psukim on a cloak and putting it's terrible. Two reasons. Reason number one, you shouldn't be writing the psukim at all. It's not allowed to write a posuk anywhere, even on the wall. And secondly, on this kind of a cloak, it's going to be taken into the bathroom, and that's going to be a major problem. And then he says in number 7, I want you to know, this is the reason, this font that we use from a Sefer Torah, since the Torah was given in this font, and the Luchot themselves, the Ten Commandments, were written in this font. And by the way, in parentheses, we had a whole shir on this, remember? Ktav Ashuri and Ktav Ivri. And we went through all the different opinions. Were the Luchot, yes, given in this font, not given in this font? And the Rambam takes the view that the Luchot were in the classic Sefer Torah font. Okay? Mugunah nishtamesh bochut me'ah shebekitzvei kodesh. You're actually not allowed to use this font for anything other than Kitzvei Kodesh, because it has inherent kedusha. The law paski Israel milishame baze. The Jews were always careful with this. The haywi grotehem, the chiburei chachmotehem, and therefore their personal letters, even their writings other than Torah, the kisvei chol shelahem, their secular writings, were always b'ktav ivri levad. Always in the Canaanite script. In the Paleo-Canaanite script, the squiggly script, which I'm not going to get into now, which doesn't look anything like Ksav Ashuri. See, they always use that for chol. And therefore, if you dig up shkalim from the Second Temple times, the coins, Dvarim shel chol b'ktav ivri. They were always written with Ksav Ivri, because it's a coin. You wouldn't put the holy writing of Ksav Ashuri, even if it's written just, you know, 3 shekels, you'd never write that in this special script. But like in the cloud of Ahmizabashuri, you'll never find even one letter in Savashuri, but Dava Mishari Israel, but anything the Jews have left us from ancient times. Lo Bakharitat Matfeya, whether it's talking about engraving a coin, Lo Bakharitat Oven or a stone, El Akal Zebik Sav Ivri, says the Rambam, it's always Ksav Ivri. Shinu has Sfardim Kasvam. And that's why the Sfardim have invented, he says, a different font. And they developed a different cursive font. He doesn't say cursive, but it is. We'll see in a minute. Until it looks like a different font. Because we want to write in Hebrew letters, and we will not use letters which are Ktav Ashuri. Now again, to clarify, Ktav Ashuri is the font that we use in the Sefer Torah, the block font. Now, of course, you're going to ask yourselves, well, now, you know, Yediot Achronot is written in Ksav Ashuri. Ma'ariv, Haaretz is written in Ksav Ashuri. Okay? So what's the deal with that? Is that allowed? Are you allowed to write non-holy things in... I'll leave you to decide which of the newspapers are more holy and less holy. But is that even allowed to Bichlal? And I want you to look just for a second at the last page. I brought you an appendix here. Look at this appendix. This is an appendix setting out cursive scripts in the Middle Ages. If this is something that you're interested in, you can have a rare old time tonight looking through the whole thing. The very last pages, did they print it on the back?
No.
Oh, they didn't print it. I don't believe it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, never mind. So I'm going to show you here. I'm sorry they didn't print it. But if you like, I can email. If you're very interested in this, I can email it to you. It's a table of cursive prints from the medieval times, Sephardi and Ashkenazi prints. And I even brought you here. It's such a shame you don't have it. An extract from the writing, from the manuscript writing of the Rambam himself. And you'll see he developed a cursive style print. This was later turned into what? Rashi script. Rashi script is not. Rashi may have used a script like that. We don't know. We have no evidence of his handwriting. There's no reason why he should have used that script. It's not called Rashi script because Rashi used it. It's called Rashi script because the printers decided to print Rashi in this script. But they didn't invent it. They used a cursive script from the time of the Middle Ages. And therefore the Rambam says the reason that we do that is because we won't write in Ktav Ashuri. Okay, you want to photocopy it now? Excellent. Thank you very much, Miriam. Okay, so the Rambam has set out a number of reasons. Let's go over the page to page 3. I'm not going to read this last extract from the Rambam. The Rambam there says, so what do we do about this fellow with the palace? So he says, look, you know, the guy wanted to do it for a mitzvah. So we talk to him nicely, and we tell him that he'll get more star if he takes the stuff off of the cloak. But at the end of the day, he has to listen to the community officials, and if he doesn't, we'll put him in cherem. Because it's not just that he's writing sukkim on a cloak, that he's now not listening, being dafka in the community, and we can't have people being dafka in the Jewish community. That would never do. So, he tells him it's clearly wrong. But again, what are the two reasons he gave? Number one, you shouldn't be writing sukkim full stop. And number two, you certainly shouldn't be writing them on something that could end up in the bathroom. Now, if you think about the jewelry, the rings and the necklaces and the bracelets, both of those issues seem to be quite pressing issues. They are writing sukkim, and they're not writing entire Sifrei Torah, that's for sure. And they are going to wear them in the bathroom. I'm going to say, well, I'll take it off every time I go in the bathroom. No, you won't. You'll take it off twice, and then you'll think, this is ridiculous, I'm not bothering with that. And therefore, what are we going to do with all of that? So let's have a look at these issues in a little bit more detail, and then we'll look at some solutions. See if we can come up with some answers. So the Rambam writes in number 9, clearly, that mitzvah atesh al kol ish ve ish mi Yisrael lichtov sefer Torah. It's a positive mitzvah of every Jewish person to write a sefer Torah, la'atma for themselves, every Jewish man, I should say, to write a sefer Torah. Shnei emar, la'ata kitva lachem et hashira. He learns it from the mitzvah that says, God says to Moshe, write down this shira. Kloima, kitva lachem Torah sheyesh ba shira zo. The mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah is one which contains the Shira. Shira Hazinu. Lefi she'ein kosim et haTorah parshiot parshiot. We may not write down the Sefer in individual parshas. It has to be at least chumashim, meaning breshit, shmot, etc., but preferably a whole Sefer Torah. The Shulchan Aruch passes this way. Number 10, the second. Lo yichtov megillah mipnei asma. You may not write a megillah, meaning a partial scroll of the Chumash on its own. Shiyu a parsha, which has just got parshas in it. The ein kosim megillah litinok litlamedba. You may not even write for a school, for a child to learn from. The im da'atul hashlima l'chumash. If you're in the middle of writing a Chumash, breshit, shmot, whatever, and you only got halfway through, okay, mutar, you can use it. But you can't write it just even for teaching, yes.
And what about the
Shidurin? Okay, so we'll see this right now. So we're not worried about this anymore. Why not? So have a look at the Taz in number 11. So the Taz already comes around and says, Zeh das Rambam. All we've seen so far is the view of the Rambam. But we'll see it, not everybody agrees. The Havi Batur, and the Tur brings the Harif. The Rif says it's really fine. Don't worry, don't stress about this. You can write partial things from the Torah if you want to learn from them. The Kasab HaRosh, Shehiti Mishum, She'iyev Shalachol Ani, Liyos, Lo, Sefer Torah Shleima. Because what do you want from people? Everyone has to own a Sefer Torah in order to learn. It's not possible. It's Iyashar. The CM, and he concludes there, the Yesh Lanu Lahatir, V'cheinu Hu Aminak B'chol Yom. Therefore, we're not machmir on this. We are lenient on this. That's the minhag. And like you're all of you are nodding at the beginning saying, we don't have a problem with this. The answer is correct. We don't have a problem with this. We write down parshas which are needed for sidurim, to learn, to teach. And I'm very surprised that the Ramah didn't point this out in the Shulchan Aruch already. He never says, we don't have this problem. We do write these things out. The only heter though is to learn, to teach. It's like an emergency measure. Is where we have to kilu break the Torah to preserve the Torah. It's an emergency measure. So we have to do this in order to keep people learning Torah. But only to learn. For people who write psukim on the wall, le'ez a siman tov, because they want a nice siman tov for the house, lav sharpe avdi, they didn't do right the Torah chatum, and nitna, the Torah is to be said, given in one go. They're passing around the sheets, don't worry too much if you don't get one, you can always look one at the end, we've finished with this anyway, but it's good, it's nice for you to have it. Thank you for copying. I mean, I don't need one. But just give a pile over there, they can pass them around, and we can carry on. So, look, the Taz says, we're not really worried about this. The Mishnah Brura says, correct, we're not worried about this. But says the Mishnah Brura, be careful in the sukkah. Look what he says in 12. Asur lachok pasuk v'sukkah teif shvu al dala'a. Don't take a pumpkin and put the pasuk v'sukkah teif shvu. People must have done this. I mean, he wouldn't say don't do it unless people did it. It sounds a bit Halloween-y, no? A little bit. You know, take a pumpkin, you engrave a pasuk v'sukkah teif shvu shivat yamim, and you hang it up in your sukkah. Just don't do that. Things like that. It's lots of sukkah to hang them. The yavol li b'zayon. It'll come to b'zayon. Someone will throw it away after sukkah. The gam sha'asin etzav sukkim in atara. You're not allowed to write any sukkim. He says any mikam yesh behem sefer shalim. You have to really have a full sefer. The afagav the noigim hefer litlamed badafka. Even though people allow it for teaching, aval shelo l'serich asur. And therefore, where does that leave us? If you're writing the psukim for teaching Torah, Rabbi Eliezer Malamed from Har Bracha, he goes one stage further. He says, if it has a matara shel kedusha, if it's for a, what would you say, a holy purpose, then okay, we'll be leaning on that. So what about these psukim the girls are putting on? Is it a matara shel kedusha? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they're carrying it around with them, they like the idea of having Torah with them all the time. I get that. Actually, the truth is, there is a mitzvah in the Torah to have Torah with you all the time. And it's not to have Torah Shebichtav with you all the time. It's to have, unless you're the Melech and you can carry the Sefer, but it's to have Torah Shebal Peh. V'divarta ban, v'shivtacha b'veitecha, v'lechtacha b'derech, v'shachpacha, v'kumecha. Actually, I think in a way, this wish to have things written on a jewelry is a little bit of a myth application of the mitzvah. If you want to be surrounded by Torah, walk around speaking Torah. Actually, I think that this is a gilgul of kamayas, of amulets. Mm-hmm. That people want to have a posuk because they feel that they'll be safe with a posuk on. You're always safer with a safer, right? Yes.
What about on a matseva? Isn't that a tabashuri? Aren't those sukkim?
They don't have to write sukkim on a matseva, but we do write tabashuri. Entire sukkim? I'm not sure, maybe. But that's not going to come to any zilzul in it. And the truth is that we are lenient. On this first issue of the Rambam, the minhag is to be mekel, that we do write sukkim in all sorts of places, even though the Rambam is quite harif on it. And we can decide whether that heter would apply to the jury or not. Maybe yes, maybe no. But what about the second issue? Please carry on, and we'll go over to page 4. You should know, by the way, the Ramah says very clearly, number 13, I'm not getting into it now, under no circumstances should you ever write Shem Hashem other than in the Sefer Torah. That's clearly an Isur, and therefore that would not even be a... He even says you shouldn't write the word Shalom. You shouldn't write the word Shalom, because the name Shalom is the name of Hashem, and therefore you shouldn't even write that down. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's fine if you're just writing Shalom Aleichem, that's fine, but if you're using it as a Shem name, you should be careful. An issue which the Rambam didn't mention was, what about getting undressed in front of Psukim? So the Gemara says, number 14, Asur la'amod bifnei Hashem arum. You are not allowed to stand in front of Shem Hashem, in a Sefer Torah, for example, without any clothes on. Look, with a Sefer Torah, one has to be even dressed appropriate, not just dress in something, but would have to be dressed properly when in the presence of a Sefer Torah. But even anything else with the Shem Hashem on it, you shouldn't be naked. That's why, by the way, the mezuzahs should be on the outside of the door jamb, not the inside of the door jamb, depending on what you're covering with it as well. There are also issues in terms of the marital relations, in terms of in front of the mezuzah. That's an interesting question as well. But you should never be naked in front of Shem Hashem. So the Rambam addresses in Hilchos Yisrael Yatera, what if you have Shem Hashem written on you? Number 15. Im haya Shem katuv al basara. Do people tattoo psukim on them? Yes, unfortunately they do. And they're not even Jewish people necessarily. In case this is of any relevance or to you, then Victoria and David Beckham have psukim tattooed on themselves. Or they used to anyway. If you don't know who they are, then good for you. Says the Rambam, Im hayu sham katuv al basara, Hashem, sorry, katuv al basara. If you have Hashem's name on your skin, harita, if you write it even, not just tattooed, if you write it in pen, harilo yuchas, you can't wash it off. But you can't put cream on it. You can't go to a dirty place. Nizdam lalo tefila, if you need to take a shower, or tefila shal mitzvah here, if you need to actually go to the mikveh, karuch alav gami, you have to wrap some kind of a bandage over it, so it's not visible. But taival, the im loy matzagem, if you can't find a bandage, but savay v'gurav, you have to put loose clothing on, etc., because you cannot be naked in front of Shem Hashem. And the Mishnah Brura extends this to even kitzvei kodesh. Number 16. Aval im yesham shadam adam a room. If there's a naked person in a room, asur likaneh sham betfilin. Someone else can't walk in wearing tefillin. Back in the day when they used to wear tefillin all the time, this was obviously a consideration. V'kitzvei kodesh, or with kitzvei kodesh, da'asu la'amod b'vnei Hashem aruf. And therefore people are careful if they're in a room where they're taking their clothes on and off, that they shouldn't have sifrei kodesh there. So what about this jewelry? Does this count? Would they be allowed to get undressed with the ring on? I don't know, that's a bit of a chumrah. It sounds to me to say that this is sifrei kodesh, that you wouldn't be allowed to get undressed. It's not going to have Shem Hashem on it. Let's hope not. I think that would be a bit of a chumrah to say that, but that's definitely a potential question. But the biggest question is the one of the bathroom. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in 17, Asur, okay, Liukam Pesukim Pesukim B'Talit, you're not allowed to embroider Pesukim on a Talit. And the Shach brings down the main reason, which is that we don't want to take it into the bathroom. Therefore, he says, we'll be lenient with a Sefer Torah cover. You can put Sukkim on that. Because no one's ever going to take a Sefer Torah cover into a bathroom. But he says the talit, the main problem is that you don't want to take it into dirty places. Leaving aside the issue, you're not allowed to say Torah, or think Torah even inside a bathroom. You can't, a toilet that is. You can't speak Torah inside a toilet or a bathhouse, but you can think Torah inside a bathroom. As long as there's no toilet in the bathroom. Rabbi Zadia has a tshuva that if you like listening to Jewish music with, like, you know, Shweki or whatever it is, Rachem or whatever it is that does it for you, there's no accounting for taste, then you can listen to that in the shower if you want. As long as there's no toilet in the room, okay? But we're not getting into that right now. The main issue is the psukim being taken into the bathroom, and therefore he says you're not allowed to write on a talit, and this is really the problem. So the jewelry is a problem. It's a problem potentially that you're not allowed to write psukim at all. Okay, so you'll say, but we're lenient on that when you need to. So, okay, do you need to? Maybe yes, maybe no. But the second issue of going into the bathroom is a real issue. And we need to try and find some way to justify this. If all of these hundreds and hundreds of people are walking around with these sukkim on them, what are they going to do? Yes?
Question about the bathroom. So I personally, if I wash my hands in the bathroom, and the shower, and the toilet,
right,
then what I understood is it's still a bathroom, and it's not only a toilet, so you can still say the bropa over there, but if it's only a toilet, then you have to go
Not to my knowledge. I mean, you have to ask your own poseik, but if there's a toilet in the bathroom, I do not think that you can say sukkim in the toilet itself. There's a shaila in modern-day bathrooms without a toilet, because some bathrooms these days are cleaner than kitchens, quite frankly. You know, they're certainly, you know, they're beautiful. So that does that have a din? But ask a shaila. I'm not a poseik, but I do not think that that is certainly not something that I would do. Now, let's get into some suggestions. What are we going to tell people to do? So I brought you here six or seven different suggestions. The first suggestion is get something else engraved on your jewelry. And that's the most important suggestion. Okay, maybe you could leave Confucius or Buddha out of it, But go to Albert Camus and so on. I'm sure there's something nice that you can find. Even Torah Shabbat Peh, Dan Lekaschus, I think Dan Adam Lekaschus, or other nice things from Pirkei Avot. Not really. It doesn't help that much. It helps a little bit, but it doesn't help that much. A statement of Rav Nachman. There's all sorts of things you can write. Gamze Yavor. That's nice. Okay, you write that. You know, that's not a positive. That's
Akolitova.
You know, Ani Ohev Etzavta. You know. You write something nice like that. But why do you have to start bringing Torah into it? So that's one option. So let's say that's not an option. You already did it. Or you have to write Anila Dodi Li because you can't give to your beloved something that says Ani Ohev Etzavta because that doesn't work. So one option is to cover the jewelry. Okay? The Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch rather, already talks about this because people used to wear kamayas. My great-grandmother, Alei Shalom, wore a kamaya. She wore an amulet all the time, a little gold thing that they put on her neck when she was a baby in Lithuania, and she never took it off her neck. That was a shmira. Okay? So, says the Shulchan Aruch in number 19, HaKamayim, if you have a little kamaya, which is, again, a parchment with Shem Hashem written on it, or angels' names, or brachas, or whatever, im hayu mechusim or, as long as you cover it with leather, mutter likanit behem lebeit hakisei. Okay, you can go to the bathroom, v'im lav, but if not, asur. Okay? Not everybody agrees with this. The Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which was the Shulchan Aruch of the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, says, no, I don't think so. Things maybe have to be double covered. There was a heter for tefillin. The Gemara talks about tefillin because people always have this problem. What do they do with their tefillin? They're walking around wearing tefillin all the time, the men, and they need to use the bathroom. So again, it's the middle of the day. They're out in the field. So the Gemara says there's a heter. You can take them off, wrap them in your clothes, put them under your arm in your clothing, and then use the bathroom and then put them back on outside. Okay, so you see you can go in the bathroom with it covered. Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. The Rav, no, that's for tefillin because there's no choice. But for something which you can just take off, to take it off, leave it outside. For a bathroom in the house, he says, what's the heter? The heter was if you're caught in a field. So what choice do you have? You can't just leave the tefillin in the field. They'll get ruined, wet, stolen, who knows what. So he's not so happy with this. And many posts can require not just one covering, but two coverings. The Sifte Eliezer is asked this question, number 21. Shailat Kahi, your Shaila is as follows. Al-Oysen b'nei Adam ha-hochim im sharsherit zahav al-tavareim. People walk around with a gold necklace on. Ulshal sherid mechuba tachshit, and on the chain is a piece of jewelry, zahav of gold. Ulafanim charut ala tachshit pasuk mehatorah. Kegon yivarechacha Hashem leyishmarecha. People like to do this. Okay, it's a known thing. They found in Kesef Chinom the oldest inscription of a pasuk. Engraved on a little piece of jewelry that they put in the grave. Now, I don't know whether this person wore this jewelry during life. It could be as well. Or whether they just buried it in the grave with them. But yes, Yivarechacha Hashem v'yishmarecha is that. We found exactly that. Or Shem Yishem HaKadoshim or Kamaya Im Mutzah La'oysen B'nei Adam Likaneit Lehitrachet or Likaneit Beit HaKnei Kisei. Fine. And he paskens that it is. As long as it's covered, you only need one covering. That'll do. He says, just avoid Shem Hashem. Don't put Shem Hashem on it. That's definitely a problem. And then he gets into a discussion. Is it a problem of using psukim? Are you using Torah to heal yourself or protect yourself? And basically he concludes it's okay. The minhag was that people did wear psukim to protect themselves. That is mutter, but you must cover it in the bathroom. And therefore, there are psukim that will say that you can just cover it with one cover, even though others are more machmir. So what are you going to do with your jewelry? So what the girls always say is, I'll put my necklace in my, you know, shirt, okay? Or I'll put my ring in my pocket. If you can find clothing with pockets in it, then you're doing well, okay? But as I said, really? You're going to do that? You're going to do that for half a dozen times, and then you're going to say, I'm not going to do that anymore, this is ridiculous. Yes? Oh, wedding rings. Now, a wedding ring, usually they give a plain band. One option, of course, is to have it engraved on the inside of the ring. Now, that won't help you with the first issue, which is you're not meant to have psukim at all, anywhere, but it will help you with the bathroom, because it will never be exposed. That is one issue. Of course, if you've got a sweatshirt or a t-shirt, then it's not always possible. A t-shirt is possible to cover, but not easy to take off. A sweatshirt is easy to take off, but not easy to cover. So you are going to get yourself into hot water with these particular issues, and therefore, like we said before, by far the best thing is not to do it in the first place. The Tzitz Eliezer's next tshuva, after the one about the Kamaya, which I'm not going to read through here in 22, is the one about the Rambam on the note. And I brought you, if they did copy this, right on page 6, you can see the fine. So first of all, here you see in front of your very eyes the devaluation of the shekel in 1983 to 84. On the left is 1,000 shekels, 1983. On the right is 1 shekel chadash, 1984. Okay? So Baruch Hashem, we don't live in those times. Now the issue is the shekel is Baruch Hashem so strong, then my pounds are worth nothing at all. But that, there are other problems with pounds as well. So you can see they wrote an extract from the Rambam in Hilchas Malva Eloiva. What better to write on a shtar than something from on a promissory note than something from the Halachas of Loans? And of course, people went bananas and said they shouldn't have done this. And the Tzitz Eliezer says, "You're right. They shouldn't have done it. They should have asked the Chachamim whether they should do that." I don't know who was in government at the time, who was printing the money, whatever. But since they didn't ask and they did it anyway, but the evidence, it's okay. You can hardly even read it on the notes. People, it was printed. It wasn't printed with kedusha. It was printed to make a banknote. But it certainly wasn't ideal. And as far as I'm aware, they've never done this since. Okay? I can't remember exactly who. Well, we don't have a 1,000 shekel note anymore. But it's certainly not the Rambam. Fine. So that's one option, is to cover it. That might work. And it will work, but is it going to be practical? Another option, of course, is to have 3 words, or preferably even less than 3 words. Meaning, with 3 words, there's a shaila. Some poskim say it's okay. Some poskim say, well, if it's recognizable, then it's no good. If you know that this is, I don't know, what would 3 words be? Shema Yisrael. Well, that would be 2 words. Maybe, V'divarta bam v'shiftacha, or something like that. Yeah, whatever it is. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. That's 3 words. So some poskim will say, well, look, everybody knows that's a posuk, even though it's not a whole posuk, it's an extract from a posuk, so that's no good. Everyone agrees that 2 words is okay. So the question is, can you find something meaningful as a posuk to engrave with 2 words? I came up with lo tirchas, you know. Lo tirchas is also good if you're a Shiva guy. Lo tirchas, don't murder, or lo tignoi. Maybe you could do that, but 3 words or less could be better. Another option, of course, is to change the ksav. The Ramorai, looking at number 24, this is the issue that we talked about before with ksav ashuri. Says the Ramorai in Shulchan Aruch, and this is not just a weird chumrah, this is actually in Shulchan Aruch. Yesh amrim, de'ein lichtav dvarim shel chol b'ksav ashuri. There is a shita that you're not allowed to write any secular statement in Ktav Ashurit, in the block Hebrew scripture closed in by Torah. Now that would certainly apply to to the script that we actually use in the Torah, but would it apply to the script that they use today for Ktav Ashurit? So most of the poskim are lenient. I brought you an interesting thing here from the Perush, the Bet Hillel from the 17th century. He says, Vehini on this Ramah, Biyosi Nivchar, I used to be a rabbi, he says, in Yartliv. Nish'alti mipi maskil echad. One fellow asked me, I don't think he means maskil in a negative way. A fellow asked me, my time ain't anritarim bizman azeh. Be you reading? Why aren't we machmir on this Ramah? In sales, in markets. Shekoitim al hatabla. People write ir b'niyar in paper. Kan yesh limkor. Buy your vegetables here. Beidah davar, or whatever it is. Dehainu yayin, or basar, or shadvarim. V'toilin ala pesach, they hang it on the door, he says. V'koistin b'ksav ashurim. And they write it in Hebrew. Now, again, did they write it in Sefer Torah script? Probably not, I don't know. But he's very unhappy. According to this remark, you're not allowed to write signs in Hebrew. Now, most of the modern poskim are mekel when it comes for divrei chol, as long as you change the font somewhat. And again, Haaretz is not written in Sefer Sam. It's not written in the actual Ksav Ashuri from a Sefer Torah, and therefore most people will say that's okay for divrei chol, because it's changed somewhat. But it won't help you with divrei kodesh. Well, you're going to tell me a Koren Chumash is not Kodesh because it's not written in the same font as the Sefer Torah? No, it's a Chumash. Clearly it's a Chumash. It's a Chumash in a different font. So changing the font won't help that much if it's clearly something of Kedusha. It'll help for Chol, but it won't help for Kedusha. Another suggestion is never to use the Shem Hashem. And then we have a question, what is the Shem Hashem? What if you write Dalad, Chukchik? Is that the Shem Hashem? Or Hey, Chukchik? Is that the Shem Hashem? So the Aruch HaShulchan says, Hey is not the Shem Hashem. Im Yetzah Hashem, Aleph Yud Hey, is not God Kedusha. Rav Moshe Feinstein is not so sure. What about two Yuds? Yud Yud. They do that in the Sidurim a lot, right?
Yeah.
Yud Yud. Yud Yud is not the Shem Hashem, according to any opinion. Does it have any Kedusha at all? So Rav Moshe says, yes, because it's letters from the Shem Hashem. That would apply to Hey as well. It certainly wouldn't apply to Dalet. Some people are particular, they don't like writing Bet Hey on the top of the page, they write Bet Samach Dalet. That's for this reason, because they're saying if you use a letter from Shem Hashem, maybe that will be a problem. But everyone agrees if you use Dalet, that's okay. And I'm sure you've seen in Sfarim that a lot of people, even when it's a Yud and a Hey combination, which is nothing to do with Shem Hashem, you know, they write a little dash or they write a line, you know. Talia, Talka, you end up calling your kid Kelly Kaku instead of Eliyahu. Yeah, they put a dash between. You don't know any kids called Kelly Kaku? It'll come, don't worry. One option, F6. Folks, on the bottom of page 7, maybe you could break up the words Ani, Ladodi, Ladodi, Li. Some people are happy with this, some people are not happy with this, especially if it reads together. As I said, this seems to be the Minigol wedding invitation. Maybe you can abbreviate it or change the words. Why do you think they write on wedding invitations Na'ale et Yerushalayim al rosh simchatenu? Because the pasuk is Ale et Yerushalayim al rosh simchati. They change it to a pasuk which is not a pasuk on purpose, so you can't tell me there's a pasuk on the wedding. A lot of thought goes into wedding invitations, a lot of money as well, but that's a different matter. Okay, maybe you could switch the order of the verse. People write kol simcha v'kol sason. Okay. Is that a pasuk or is that not a pasuk? Yeah, everyone's putting things there. Kol simcha v'kol sason. Yechol liot. Another issue maybe, you could turn around and say, oh come on, this jewelry is not, it's not really pasukim. And the Shulchan Aruch even says, look in number 28, you're not allowed to write sukkim without the lines that are needed to put the letter, or so that the letter touches the line for a sefer Torah. If it's ksav ashuris, if it's ksav ashuris, but then he says, mihu be'igeret shlomim. But in a letter, in a social letter, muta lichtav, you can write a pasuk. Afilu kama tevus me'a pasuk le'devasav. Because everybody knows it's not really a Ksav of Kedusha, you're just writing it in a letter. So there are people who want to make that claim that Anila Doni Vidoni Li is not really a pasuk here, it's just something which is a statement, a phrase that people use. Nevertheless, other poskim disagree with this. Yes, sir?
So I was thinking, let's say go to men's bathroom and a couple of men over there.
Yes.
Somebody changes the sentence.
Okay.
Okay, but the other guy
sees
the sentence, he starts thinking.
Okay, starts thinking of Torah. Okay. So you have to be careful what you think in the bathroom. It's difficult. Please God, that should be the worst thing we're doing Shiva for on Rosh Hashanah, that we've accidentally thought of Torah. But you're right. It's mashal other people a little bit. But Yevon, what's going to be? All these girls have already got them. So what are the poskim say? So I asked the posek in Yerushalayim, he said, look, they didn't do the right thing. But the Yevet, if he doesn't have the Shem Hashem, Yesh Al Milismuch. You don't have to take it off. Rav Herschel Shechter, you should know, says, no, take them off, put them in a box, never wear them again. It's awesome. It's like the Rambam said with the Talis, you cannot have these psukim on there. Therefore, there are poskim that will say absolutely not. And therefore, you should young women and young men should ask their local Orthodox posek what they should do with this. But girls, many, many girls have asked me. My advice to them is don't do it, or get Albert Camus on the jewelry. That's beautiful. Les Conger, or whatever it is. You can find something nice to say. And if you did it already, but the other, it's okay if you really feel you have to wear it. If it hasn't got shame, Hashem on it. I just brought you one last thing, just of interest. Are you allowed, forget about the Ketav, are you allowed to speak in Hebrew in a bathroom? Forget about Torah. Are you allowed to say Hebrew words? Are you allowed to say, Ani Rotzeh Mayim, or something like that, in a bathroom? So actually, the Gemara discusses this. And I'm not going to get into the whole Gemara here, but the Gemara learns that Rabbi Yehuda specifically spoke Hebrew in a bathroom. Not Torah, obviously, just things like pass the soap, in order to teach people that you are allowed to speak Hebrew in the bathroom. So just so that you know, in case that was something, in case you always revert to Yiddish every time you walk in the bathroom, that's fine, but you don't have to, it's halachically permitted. So again, very interesting subject in terms of the jewelry, and many of your grandchildren, I'm sure, or children or friends might benefit from that. Next week, I see there's an announcement coming. Next week, please God, we're going to look at Yizkor on Tom Gedalia, and then we'll go forward from here. Rabbi Shul.
So, just a reminder, Sunday, October 6th, I'm sure Rabbi Manny mentioned it, because he's one of our best PR agents.